We're live at Little Woodrow's on Bel Air Boulevard, 4235 Bel Air. First time we've done a show here, having a good time out here. So stop by and hang out for happy hour. They're hanging a bunch of TVs in here today, Rich. It's going to be lit in here
big
tonight.
Big-time HD TVs,
They're kind of giving the place a facelift here, and this place is going to have all kinds of new stuff in here. So stop by and say hello.
As long as we're mentioning that, March 2nd, Texas Independence Day, they're giving away Houston Rodeo tickets here that evening at 8 p.m. And Fat Tuesday, which is March 5th this year, Zydeco Bands, Frozen Hurricanes, Crawfish Boil. So it's a cool place where you can have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right, so two people named Jeremy Bergman and Nick Shook on NFL.com did a ranking of each team's rookie class.
Yeah, I saw that.
In the NFL.
And rookie class includes undrafted free agents as well as draft picks, as long as they're first-year players.
Yep, absolutely, as it should. And I guess before we get into this, I don't know. It sounds like you've seen this article, so you've seen the grade.
I've seen it, and I think it's kind of crazy. It's not like I've gone through all 32 descriptions of their rookie classes, but to have the Texans where they are doesn't seem right.
Yeah, they've got them ranked 21st on here. They gave them a B, which I guess tells you that they were pretty lenient, I think, with their grading when the 21st rated team. They had Bs and B minuses going all the way down to the 26th team on the list.
So in this ranking,
I needed more
almost
professors.
No one had a bad rookie class.
The worst grades they gave the Rams a D, the Raiders a C, the Bucks, Jags each got C's, and those were the lowest grades. I needed more professors like this in college, Rich.
No kidding. It feels like the Texans come in at number 21 simply because they didn't have a pick in the first or second round, which is not really seeing the forest for the trees.
Well, whoever wrote this, whoever did this report card, it feels like something where they just pulled out the Texans stat sheet and read it. And so I'm not here to do a segment on an evaluation that I think is completely hokey and ill-informed. I think it's a good conversation to have about this rookie class because we've got a draft where Brian Gain has even more picks coming up here. But before we get to that, for example, they concede that Justin Reed was everything the Texans hoped they were getting, selecting him in the third round, and he's going to be here for years to come. QT stepped up after Will Fuller was lost to injury and did an admirable job as a rookie, catching 28 passes for 267 yards and coming close to earning my nod for the Texans' unsung hero.
Doesn't even mention he missed a bunch of games.
Did you even watch the season? Unsung hero. The Texans couldn't plan week to week because QT's hamstring was zero reliability.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, so I'm reading this. I mean, that's all well and good, like, that they want to give the Texans, they want to give Kiki QT any sort of props. Kiki QT had two amazing games against the Colts, one in the regular season, one in the playoffs. Aside from that, he had some decent plays here and there.
He missed 10 games.
Rich, if you're asking me what Kiki QT's brand is right now, you know, if Kiki QT were to walk away from football today, what would be his legacy? What would be the first thing you think of? I'd be like, the worst hamstrings on the planet.
Yeah, can't stay
the
healthy.
The absolute least reliable hamstrings on the planet.
Now, that said, I mean, the fact that they didn't have a first or a second round pick, putting aside QT's unavailability, given the fact that QT was largely unavailable and they didn't have a first or a second round pick, this was one of the most impactful first-year classes of players the Texans have ever had.
It is. I would give the class. Here's the way I grade these things, Rich. Is what would I grade the talent that they got out of this draft, and what would I give the GM as his grade for the draft? And especially because it wasn't Brian Gain that traded the first and second round picks; it was his predecessor. Then that even bumps Gain's grade up another half a grade. If Brian Gain were working with a draft where he wasn't picking till the third round because of deals he had made in previous seasons, well, then that affects things. But Brian Gain's stepping into a situation. Now, granted, one of those picks, the first rounder, netted him Deshaun Watson. So he's stepping into Deshaun, and that's going to affect how we grade Brian Gain on other things down the road. But specific to this rookie class and Brian Gain and grading the GM on this, you got to give Brian Gain an A- at worst for this rookie class.
At worst, yes.
At worst, you have Justin Reed, who's going to be a starting center for this team and a cornerstone, I think, for the next 10 years.
Oh, sure.
If Kiki QT is healthy, he's going to be a guy who's going to be a difference maker and a plus offensive player for you. for several years to come, depending on how they treat these guys with their second contracts. Right. Kiki Coutee looks like he's going to be a player in the NFL. He just needs better hammies. Martin, the other two third-round picks, Jordan Akins, showed some promising things. I'm not ready to look at these two rookie tight ends and give Gain the sun and the moon on his grade because of them. They both made some plays here and there, but they both have things they can improve upon. But
as rookies, I would have to say they both exceeded expectations.
That's fine. I'm just not ready to gush about them like I am these other guys. If every rookie performed at the level of Jordan Akins and Jordan Thomas in this class, the grade wouldn't be an A-. The grade would be more like a B or a B-, probably. But I like both of those players. I love QT. I love Justin Reed.
Keep going.
Well, Martinez Rankin was a D-minus performance-wise, but I think he was miscast as a tackle, and especially coming in after having no training camp because of an injury. He's put in a terrible position.
His value has yet to be defined.
Yeah, I think he's going to wind up being a guard for this team, and I think he could start at guard for this team. If he winds up being a starting guard for you, then that certainly changes things. The other members of the rookie class that I think you need to talk about are Trevor Daniel as the punter. I think they found their punter for the next several years.
There's no doubt.
Peter Columbi running down there on kicks and play. He was a special teams fixture.
Don't forget Ejiofor.
Ejiofor didn't do much in the regular season.
Much, but showed a lot of potential.
He showed potential in the preseason, and I think where Ejiofor starts to figure into the calculus hardcore, Rich, is with Whitney Mercilus coming into his final season.
Right.
If Whitney Mercilus doesn't up his game in this final season, then I think you have to really look at what Duke Ejiofor does this year, and can they plug in Duke Ejiofor for what Whitney was doing? Let's face it, and this isn't Whitney's fault, but with what they were asking Whitney to do this year, forget about Ejiofor. You just have to be asking yourself, hell, Whitney has to be asking himself, is this where I need to be going forward for my twilight years, my last run, the last contract I'm going to have? Yeah. If they're going to have me backpedaling in coverage all the time.
Right, and because of that, you know, what at first glance looked like the Texans getting over on the contract to which he agreed doesn't look so much like that anymore.
Yeah, and that's their fault. It's how they're using him. I think overall, if you're asking me, because Whitney's heading into his last year, I think they gave him like 4 years, $26 million, 12 guaranteed, something like that. If you're asking me, was Whitney Mercilus worth the money that they gave him ultimately over the course of that year? Maybe it was a 5-year deal. I don't remember. I'd have to say overall, probably right about worth it. You know, there's a couple of years. One, he was hurt in 2017. That's not his fault, but he was hurt. So it's hard to say he was worth it that year because he missed 11 games. And then last year, he wasn't worth it. But the 2 years where he was, you know, averaging double-digit sacks for a couple of years, when J.J. Watt was hurt in 2016 was one of those seasons, and you'd have to say they were getting over in those years. So I guess overall, maybe he was probably worth right about what they gave him for the life of that contract.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. And, you know, we can sit here and talk about the impact of these first-year players, and it was certainly significant. I guess what you would call the bad news is, and this on this one, I completely agree with the authors of this article. How can you not have Chris Ballard's Colts class as the number one rookie class in the NFL in 2018? And they do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it might be one of the best rookie classes of the last 10 or 12 years.
How many times have a pair of rookies been all pro?
One other time, the Chicago Bears, back in the 60s or whatever it was, with Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers.
Darius Leonard and Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
All pro rookies for the Colts last year. They even drafted a linebacker in the 7th round that contributed in every game.
Oh, they got a starting right tackle that they drafted as a guard in Braden Smith.
Right.
I mean, they had contributions. It wasn't just Leonard and Nelson, although they're the big ticket items, obviously, because they were first-team All-Pro, like you said, but he did a good job top to bottom, and that should scare the hell out of you if you're a Texan fan. Because we're sitting here giving shine to Brian Gain. If our theory in this is what these guys just did last year really bodes well for the upcoming draft, then as enthusiastic as we are about Brian Gain, we should be just as nervous about Chris Ballard having extra draft picks that he got in the He drafted Quentin Nelson. Oh, by the way, he moved back and drafted Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
He got picks from the Jets to move back.
They're going to be a force to be reckoned with, obviously.
And draft Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, moving forward. The Titans are actually rated ahead of the Texans on this list, which is a bit of a head-scratcher. They got a couple of starting linebackers out of their draft, but not a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, Rashawn Evans. Harold Landry was pretty good for them this year. Dane Cruikshank is, you remember him, Rich?
I remember his name.
You remember what he did to the Texans in week 2? He caught the 66-yard touchdown pass on the fake punt.
Okay, that's not why I remember his name, but now I remember it.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's weird. They gave the Titans a B. They only drafted four guys.
Right.
They didn't have many picks.
Yeah, this list is not flawless.
Yeah. No. The Texans summaries feel like someone who just pulled out their stat sheet and their snap counts and read them and gave the grade. So I give Gain an A- for the class. And given the contributions of the class, I would probably give it closer to a B+ or an A- overall, quite honestly. The other thing I teased into this segment, Justin Reed, they did a redraft of the 2018 draft. I love these. Mm-hmm. Chris Trapasso, who's one of their draft experts, did a redraft. And my two big takeaways from this, Rich, is that as of right now, the teams near the top of the draft appear to have gotten their picks right. In this draft, he still has Baker Mayfield going number one.
Makes sense.
He has Darnold going number two. Would you rather the Giants had drafted Darnold instead of Saquon Barkley, Rich?
No, because I still think the opportunity is there to address QB moving forward, and they got a transcendent running back.
Okay.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
This is a guy with Hall of Fame potential.
He is. The running back position overall just scares me a little bit, especially that level of investment in it. But I get what you're saying. Josh Allen, number three to the Jets. Not sure I agree with that. He still has the Browns taking Denzel Ward with the fourth pick. So the Browns, who we laughed at all these years, basically got their two picks right in the eyes of a draft expert. And I can't say I disagree with it. He's got Chubb still going to the Broncos. He's got Quentin Nelson still going to the Colts. So he's got four of the top six guys of those GMs of those teams getting their picks right, which is fairly remarkable. Where do you think
they have Barkley falling to 23 in this?
Oh, I forgot to tell you that. Yeah,
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, so he agrees.
Wow. Well,
so he, I don't know that he would fall that far.
I don't think that's true at all.
But it shows his opinion of the running back position for sure.
Have they? And I did look at this piece as well, Sean, and I do like the fact that it backed up our contention that Reed played like a first-round draft pick.
He did, yeah. I was getting nervous when I got to the bottom of the first round. And let me just say that I would stab myself in the eye if this is the team that had wound up with Justin Reed. The New England Patriots with the 31st pick in the draft. Reed seems like a Belichick-type player. This is what Chris is typing.
Mm-hmm.
Who can do anything on the back end. He can play some corner against slot receivers, roam the second level comfortably as a big nickel linebacker, and range from center field. He was outstanding as a rookie in Houston.
It's the biggest win of the 2018 draft for the Texans. There's no question about that. They didn't have a pick in the first or second round, and a third round pick played at the level you would expect from a first round pick. And we should also mention, since we're talking about these GMs and their impact, and Brian Gain now going through his first full offseason as Texan general manager, his rookie GM resume also includes picking up Tyrann Mathieu and Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
Being very proactive on a couple of fronts where there was an obvious need. That's also a really good
Mathieu
sign.
Well, Mathieu, you had to sell on coming here. He was a free agent.
Right.
You know, Thomas, I'm with you. The aggressiveness is what I like about the Thomas deal. I like the message of the Demaryius Thomas deal better than how the deal itself wound up. I think Demaryius Thomas is okay.
Yeah.
But I like, as a Texan fan, the message from that deal is something you can carry forward and say, this is good. We've got a GM and, who, if there's a need and we're in the mix at the trade deadline, is not afraid to go make a deal.
And whatever they pitched to Tyrann Mathieu, he bought.
He did. I hope they buy it a second time, because there are going to be suitors for Tyrann Mathieu. They had an interesting conversation today on Mad Radio. They asked Andrew Filippone of our sister station in Pittsburgh, who, if you were the Texans, you would go after. Would you trade for Antonio Brown, or would you sign Le'Veon Bell?
One
or the other. Here's what Filippone, who obviously covers the Steelers, had to say.
I'd go after Bell if I'm the Texans. Why not? I mean, you're going to get into an arms race here with the Colts. You still have the chief quarterback, and you're probably going to lose Clowney, right? So if you're going to lose him, to me, you got to fight fire with Indy in the division, try to keep up with them, score more points than them. The Colts have $100 million in cap space, as you guys well know. And, you know, Lamar Miller, I know he made the Pro Bowl, but to me that was a phony Pro Bowl. He did not play like an all-star running back. So I think Bell, two very different players. They both get kind of categorized as distractions or dramatic players. But I think if you pay Le'Veon Bell, I think you get him dialed in, and I think you get him focused. And in that offense with their crappy offensive line. I think he can make plays in the passing game. I think he's the best pass catching running back. Maybe Gurley or Johnson would argue that, but I think Bell makes a lot of sense. I don't think Brown does at all. I think Brown's a terrible idea.
The only thing I disagree with Filippone on there, and this is not to blame him, he doesn't cover the Texans on a regular basis. Texans ain't losing Clowney. Not this year.
I would agree with
that. He may hold out, but they're not losing him.
Interesting that his entire response was mainly selling Le'Veon Bell. Very little, if anything, in there about the negatives that Antonio Brown brings with him.
Rich, there was more to the interview about Brown.
Well, that makes sense because that's my – if you were to pose that question to me, I would certainly take Le'Veon Bell over Antonio Brown for a lot of the reasons that he just mentioned, but also because of, and we've talked about this ad nauseum the last couple of days, there's a long laundry list, a slew of negativity that comes with Antonio Brown that I would not want to touch.
Yeah, don't misconstrue that answer as the only thing that the time Brown's name came up. Filippone went on for about 3 or 4 minutes after this, and we can play some of this later when John McClain comes on with us. He gave plenty of reasons for the Texans to stay the hell away from Antonio Brown.
And I think we agree with that.
He did a great sell job on it. Yeah, I wouldn't trade for him. I think the Steelers are still, and I know you and I disagree on this, I still think the Steelers are going to wind up getting at least a second-round pick for Antonio Brown. I think you think more of a mid-round pick.
Yes, and as of yesterday, Antonio Brown had refused to do a sit-down with Rooney, the owner of the Steelers. Reportedly today, that's changed. They're going to sit down and have a conversation.
Yep.
And I'm with you. I think the most likely outcome is that Antonio Brown doesn't go anywhere.
The Steelers are not a dumb team. And you know who trades players in their primes?
And takes huge cap hits for doing
so? It trades the best at their position in their prime in the midst of a six-year streak of 100 catches and take a $21 million cap hit to do so. You know who does that, Rich? Dumb teams.
Yeah.
Dumb teams do that, and the Steelers are not a dumb team. The other thing that Filippone brought up, and again, we'll have more about this when John McClain jumps on with us later. He brought up a great point that I didn't hear you, me, nor Clint bring up yesterday, is that if you remember, Antonio Brown got bent out of shape that Juju Smith-Schuster won team MVP. Antonio Brown did
something he's won four times.
Right. Antonio Brown did not like somebody else, especially at his position, getting shine. And Filippone, I thought, brought up an outstanding point. How do you think this guy's going to feel playing on the outside, on the opposite side of the one guy in the league who everybody seems to think right now is actually better than him?
Yeah.
Is in DeAndre Hopkins,
sure.
Who is the polar opposite of Antonio Brown from an attitude and a locker room standpoint.
I wouldn't touch Brown. I wouldn't come near a conversation to acquire Antonio Brown from the Texans.
It's one of those things that if it's Madden, it's fun to picture the two of them out there on the same field together. Like, holy crap, what would that look like? And there's part of me with if the Colts go out and get him, that's going to scare the hell out of me. But
threatening a writer with physical violence. Facebook Live.
Depends on the writer, really, though.
Come on. Facebook
Live. I don't know,
Rich.
There's a few writers I wouldn't mind slapping the lips off their
face. That's an anger issue that goes hand in hand with the stuff that happened at the apartment complex, the lawsuits. I mean, come on.
No, the rest of them I agree with, though. To me, it depends on the writer. Some of these writers out there, man.
I know you're kidding.
Yeah.
You don't threaten to break the jaw of a writer.
Oh, is it breaking the jaw? No, I just want to
break his jaw.
Oh, okay. No, that. An open hand slap is okay.
Yeah.
To the side of the head. Breaking the jaw. You didn't tell me that.
I know you're kidding also.
It was breaking the jaw. Yeah. Thanks for putting my line over, Rich. I appreciate it.